You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 15, Episode 1, titled One Night Only. One Night Only, Part 1. My name's Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two garrulous co-hosts. First, from the podcast Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo, please say...
I do know them, but I'm not going to give them the satisfaction that I do.
To Nathan Patrick Brown. Nathan, hello.
Hi, Joe. God, I'm loving this little song that you've got playing.
Yeah, what do you think of this new theme song chosen by producer Luke Stamen?
Luke, you've knocked it out of the park. It's fun. It's fresh.
Yeah. Well, I will say it's inspired by Christian Ochoa, Sugar and Spice of the show. And he's the one who's like, girl, this theme song for season 15, it's not going to be the tea for me, girl. Okay, we're going to have to pick something. And so I had Lou pick a new theme song. And he gave me several options, and a lot of them were very good, but this was the one that was my favorite. All right, moving on. And from the podcast, Bring It to the Runway, please say...
Say hello to world-renowned photographer Albert Sanchez.
Hello.
To Roberto Mata.
Hey, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the time. Nathan's really loving that clip zero there.
I would never have predicted that.
No, neither would I. I was like,
oh, you would have predicted that?
No, I would not have, but it did remind me of my biggest grievance with the episode, which is where the fuck was Mike Ruiz?
He hasn't been on like in 10 years.
I don't care. Bring him back from the A-list studio and let the man take photos. Let him be the new pit crew member.
You're a big Mike Ruiz fan?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I decide to get on a steroid cycle, I want to look like Mr. Ruiz.
And would you do the silver hair and everything?
I mean, I'll do what my hair decides to do, really. But he gives it. Like, come on, Canadian Latinos.
He's Canadian?
I'm pretty sure, actually.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
Wow. Well, yeah. There you go. You learn something new every day. All right. By the way, if you're loving what you're hearing right now, Nathan is full on performing oral sex on his index finger. Where did that come from, Nathan? Why were you doing that right now?
I don't know, Joe. I just had a finger in my mouth. It's not that well, it sounds bad.
I haven't shown a pit yet.
Well, yet. Can we rectify that?
I'm going to tell you what, Robert. You show a pit and there's going to be a fist in his mouth. Anyway. By the way, we just had a great, though, if you would understand that joke, if you listen on Patreon to Just Between Us Girls, join at the executive level to get Just Between Us Girls. But by the way, there is a ton of content. We are back with a vengeance on Patreon. We are going to have this show early, no commercials. You are going to have, I have a big announcement to make in a second. You are going to have Throwing Down is back. The Tea is back. Fat Camp is back. Just Between Us Girls. Back, everything's back again. But not only that, on the free stream and also an extended version on Patreon, and this might be a turnoff to some people, we are bringing back Bring It to the Runway. But
you don't have to listen to it. That's the thing.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to that. Yeah, that's the thing. If you join Patreon, you don't get Bring It to the Runway. That's the selling point. Yeah, because it'll be on the public feed, but if you have the Patreon, you won't get him. No, there'll be an extended version. But here's the big news. And I have another clip zero here that will show it. So, you know, everybody heard Bring It to the... Well, no. A couple people heard Bring It to the Runway last year. Okay. And you might have been thinking like, oh, this Christian Ochoa, because we had a season with him and Robert on Bring It to the Runway. People had very strong opinions. I was watching Drag Race this week, and this quote resonated with the announcement I'm about to make.
You know, mother has had to deal with a lot of children in her life. And what I've learned is you let the kids play and then you clean them up later.
Joe Batance is now going to be moderating, lead host on Bring It to the Runway. She's going to put the children. She's going to teach mother. Oh, you know what? I actually have that. Hold on here for a second.
Mother has arrived.
And she is taking over. We're changing sort of the format. We're rebooting the format of Bring It to the Runaway. Yes, we'll do some fashion, but it's also going to be about big themes that are discussed in this episode. Like for this week, we haven't even done the episode yet, so Robert's hearing this for the first time. We're going to talk about older, more experienced gay people versus younger, less experienced gay people and the clash between them. Me being the old, tired queen, as Christian reminds me all the time. And Robert and Christian being, well,
I just turned 30, so I'm an elder gay now.
Yeah, you're an elder gay. Yeah, he's in that old gays.
I have great grand gays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where I am. Anyway, so let's get right into this episode, Mama. Let's not waste any more time. This week, 16 new girls walk into the workroom in a two groups of eight. The first group meets each other and Ariana Grande before competing in a vintage mini challenge and hitting the main stage for some choreo. Meanwhile, group two makes their big debut in the workroom, recreates their own unique vintage mini challenge before hitting the main stage to gag group one with their presence in a part one cliffhanger. Let's start the way we always start. We'll start with our special guest, Robert Mata. Name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
Two things I liked about the episode was all the callbacks. Vivacious has always been a longtime favorite of mine. So getting to see her and Ornacia gave me like my little gay, like I just felt like a young gay again seeing them. But it does make me sad that I felt this about All Star 6 when Coco Montrese came back. I forget that these girls are aging while we haven't seen them on TV. And Vivacious was having a hard time just standing there. But I still love her.
It's funny that you say that. I wrote to somebody today about how, because RuPaul said, like, walk or something like that. Show them how it's done, Mama. Like, and I've actually I've seen Vivacious in the past, and she could work. And this time, it was like, she just literally walked across the workroom.
a slight sway of the hips.
Yeah, you know what it was, too? Like, you know when you see, like, an old person, and what they do is it's so hard for them to walk that it's almost like they look at point B where they have to be and they just sort of like let gravity and luck and sweat take them to the other part. And that's what they kind of look like with Vivacious.
Oh, Vivacious. So, and then the callbacks with the photo shoots also, which leads me to my point of what I didn't like, which I've already said, but where if you're going to have a rendezvous of all these past themes, where the fuck is Mike Ruiz to pull it all together? I just need to see the man in a tight black shirt. Give me my gay fantasy, please.
Well, you know, Robert, on Drag Race Down Under, they don't even have a photographer. They've just got the pit crew guy holding a camera. So
That pit crew guy's really hot. The Down Under one. I don't know what steroid cycle he's on, but we got to see.
All right, Nathan, what about you? What are two things I like about the episode and one thing you did not?
Super similar to you, Robert. So one thing I liked was the return of Ornacia and just how they made that Ariana's reveal, and the fact that she did it the exact same that Vivacious did, but like with a skirt with the same pattern. I just like really ate that shit up. And then all the callbacks with the mini challenges. I love to see a good pit crew showing, and they're classics for a reason. So I really enjoyed that. And I thought it was a good mix of like introducing the new queens with legacy content, which I liked. And the thing I did not, it seems like I might be going into your Bring It to the Runway theme, but I do not like this TikTokification of the casting for Drag Race. Like, what made me cringe was when three or four of the queens were like, oh, my biggest achievement, the thing I'm most proudest of is going viral on TikTok. And I was like, ugh. And it's like, we've got people who haven't even performed in bars. And like, I think it's interesting. It provides an interesting dynamic as long as we've got the older queens to balance it out. But like, in future seasons, if they're just all TikTok queens, I think it might be insufferable.
For me, I like that there was a nice twist on the format. Even though it totally fucked up and gummed up the works of what we were going to do, I was like, okay, this is interesting. They've played with it a little bit. Something different. Okay. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention this. I know this is controversial in the world of Reddit. I'm going to tie in this in with this. As a person who covers RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm so fucking happy they've cut these episodes down to 1 hour.
Oh, thank God.
Make it shorter.
Yeah. Send me an email.
I've been saying that for years. The bloat of season 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 is ridiculous. Yeah. It's just too much.
So we got a big 2 hour, but that was two episodes, and we're going to have 1 hour. Granted, this will lead into our after break conversation. But you know what? During the real gays of WeHo, or the real friends of WeHo, this is when we can go to the bathroom, do a line of coke, scrub our pits, eat some dinner, and then... But by the way, Untucked to me is not appointment viewing. So, like, I'll just DVR Untucked and watch it later.
If that, honestly. I don't think I ever even watched season 14's.
I watched this one, and the first Untucked was just the queens arriving to do their workroom entrances. The whole episode, just one by one. They're like, I'm excited. Weird. And I said, I can't watch this. And then the second one was the traditional Untucked, which wasn't that interesting.
That makes sense because on the TV guide or whatever you call it, it said right after the show was like Untucked Part 2. And then that was followed by Untucked Part 1, which made no sense. All right.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked, thank God someone motherfucking went home this season.
Oh, yeah.
I was so happy to see someone go home.
Same.
For reals.
I was glad it was her, too, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? We're going to find something there. And then the thing I didn't like, and this might be controversial, I literally cannot stand this Sugar and Spice.
Don't.
I want them to drown. I'll just leave it there.
I thought they were sweet.
No, you did not.
I kind of did, actually.
No, you didn't.
All right, so what we're going to do today, we're going to talk about the workroom entrances, we're going to talk about the mini challenge, all that. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do it all over again with workroom entrances part two, blah, 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 blah. So let's go with the workroom entrances. We'll buzz through these. First up, Irene Dubois. We are actually going to start with Robert because he seemed to have very strong opinions about Irene Dubois. Irene Dubois, she's from Seattle. She's the one that sisters with Bosco. What were your thoughts here?
Do you remember in season 9 when Eureka came into the workroom and seemed to have prepared reads for the girls and just sort of commandeered screen time in that way, and everyone was sort of bothered by it? Irene was playing the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I understand that, but if you're the first person into the workroom, you're getting screen time. You don't have to angle for the camera every single minute and every single conversation time.
Yeah, what do you feel about that, Nathan?
Yeah, I agree. But I did enjoy half of what she was saying. Like, I like her being shady, but then, like, with the 40 inches or whatever, like, that was funny. But then when she's like, oh, girl, you're doing the most, I'm like, well, that's... You know, that's kind of a canned line, so I see where you're coming from. But I did find it funny, but I hate that look. And the different sized eye contacts, I couldn't with that. That really made my skin crawl for some reason.
But she's an alien. She's so weird and quirky and unique and one of a kind.
She looks like everyone in Seattle. But that's the thing with Seattle, is that, like, we're all so different, but we look exactly the same.
Well, that's the thing with gays.
It didn't bother me. This moment didn't bother me so much. And I understand the logic, but it seemed too soon. You know, you don't know these fucking... They're like, we're drag queens. We read each other. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know them. Like, imagine, Robert, if you invited me to your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walk in, right? Right now. I just walk into your house and I see your ex there. Because he's there, right?
Yeah, he's sitting on the bed.
Yeah. And what if I just walked in and I was like, hey, Ethan, how's Robert's ass taste? You gonna fuck him? Wouldn't he be like...
That would not go down very well.
Yeah, well, he would. But let me tell you this. He would be like, who the fuck is this guy? Right? You
True.
Have to warm up to some people. Like, the bitch walks in and she's reading about how long her hair is. Like, the hair comment, okay, I get it. But save that for a confessional, mama. Why is that like...
Oh, no, the hair comment was hilarious.
I
think it's probably the only memorable quote from the episode. The 40 inches, I think, is going to, like, stand the test of time.
Yeah.
40 centimeters, I would believe, but 40 inches? Come on.
We don't do metric here. All right, next we had Lux Noir London come in. Your thoughts, Nathan, on Lux Noir London?
I kind of fell in love with her with just how delusional and dopey she was, and I just found her really endearing.
Robert?
Just a bimbo, yo. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I love when someone's confidently dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do that shit, girl. Just be dumb. And put on another one of those leather daddy hats. She must have a whole fucking rainbow of those things.
Yeah.
What is it with gays and hats?
Wait. Okay. I hear like a Seinfeld wide... routine coming. Right?
The ruined Michelle joke about.
I'm wearing all the hats. What's going
the
on?
The thing is that, okay, so the confessional gays, when they're in their confessionals, they're always wearing those fucking wide brim hats. There's one every season. I think this year it's Robin Fierce. I can't stand those hats. They make my skin crawl like the contacts made Nathan's skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at
I feel
at
like there's a drag explanation for it or a continuity explanation for it.
Well, in general, I'd just be like, well, they're balding, but that's fine. Be bald.
I take it more at, it could be balding, but I took it more as like, you have to have the same look in the confessional every time, so it makes it their life easier. They don't have to worry about the hair length and blah, 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 blah. Remember when LaGanja had the curl that was...
Oh, I hated that curl.
That curl cracks me up.
Yeah. These legs are everything. So,
Mama.
But I do talk like this. I do talk like this. My friends are around.
This is how you talk.
And well, we need. See, speaking of hats, we need to get Robert a little sombrero.
I would be down with the little sombrero. To be honest with you, I just don't want to see a fucking wide brimmed hat on a girl ever again.
I'm telling you, you got to go to, speaking of North Hollywood, on Lancashire to the Ha Ha Cafe. And workshop this gay Jerry Seinfeld bit that you're doing. Don't you have enough with the hat? You have the berets.
I can't stand it. And Rue and Michelle always being like, does anyone still wear a hat? And I'm like, yes, okay. Bitch, do you watch your own show? Everyone wears a fucking hat.
Wait, do you really not get that reference?
I get the reference, of course. But like, I'm just saying that they say it a lot.
They say a lot of things a lot.
I know. I don't want to hear every hole is a goal ever again. I'm tangenting. I'm sorry.
No, have you listened to the show tomorrow?
The girls love that quote too.
Anyway, Lux, my thing is like, she's fine, but we've seen this type before, right? We've seen this girl that the Naomi Campbell, they went to the Naomi Campbell store and we bought this and this and this, and we bought this hat. More like, lull me to sleep. I'm going to work on that one. All right, next. Work. I feel like I have a lot to say about this. Aura Mayari. She came in and says, do you feel that aura? I bet you do. Let's go to Robert Mata here.
I have very few of them, apart from the fact that, like, we get it. You have arms. So does everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not everyone else. Most people have arms.
Yeah.
We get it. Mm-hmm. But she said she's a dancer, so we'll see what she can do when it's time to actually dance. My eyes kind of glaze over during the original lip sync numbers, so I can't remember hers and all blurred together.
They're all lip sync numbers. Nathan, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, she seems more memorable as a boy than as an actual drag queen. So I think she's kind of filler.
Very good point. More like Bora. I'm going to work on every one of these drag queens. They're going to have a name.
I'll see you in the no-ho, the ha-ha bar.
Oh, I'll be there right before you.
Or a less Ari. Am I right?
What?
I don't even know. Now, let me tell you this. She is a cute boy. I will give her that. She is a cute boy. But here's the deal. If you have to call yourself the trait of the season, you're not the trait of the season.
Wow.
Once she said that, she wasn't the trait of the season. Here's the other thing, too. The bicep thing the first time, okay, it's cute. But she did it like two or three more times talking about her arms. I'm like, okay, now again, same thing with stop it. We get it. We know we're fucking faggots. We have eyes, right?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I could see her just flexing. Well, in
look, you're fucking masturbating to anyone's armpit, so we don't care, right?
Fair enough.
My favorite quote from Aura is when she walks in. And I don't know if it didn't seem like a cut. It seemed like it was a one shot. But she goes, I'm a performer. What are you guys excited about? It was like really it ran. She went, it really was. And then they didn't cut away. It went, I'm a performer. What are you guys excited about? I'm like, that was a hard left.
I love gays and their nonsense. It's what did Alyssa Hunter say last season? Someone was like, hi, I'm whatever. And she was like, hi, I'm from Puerto Rico. And I was like, what? what? Did you, what?
All right, next we have in Marsha. She came in and said, ow, my nose. Your thoughts, Nathan, on Marsha.
This one was a bit sad, and it just was a bit drab. And when she's like, oh, I'm a Broadway performer, I was wondering, like, what show do you reckon she was in? Do you reckon she was, like, Swing Ensemble for Mrs. Doubtfire or something shit? Like, what do you think?
There is a Broadway IMDb type list. I don't know what it's called. And we'd have to go to Wikipedia, get her real boy name. right?
Okay.
And then looked that up. But I bet you, yeah, she went to a performance of Hamilton, and now she's a Broadway performer.
Went to one, yeah.
Yeah, she went to one. And by the way, she did the lottery ticket one, the way you got the lottery. She didn't even buy, she paid $20 and she sat next to an old couple from Hoboken. Anyway, your thoughts, Robert, on Marsha.
I feel like I'm one of the few gays who grew up, like, maybe not grew up, but I watched Glee and I actually enjoyed Rachel Berry. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I actually kind of enjoy the Marsha isms mm-hmm. so far. It can definitely be grating because I was not a Rosé fan. I was not a Blair St. Clair fan. I was definitely not an Elle of a Day fan. Mm-hmm. But Marsha doesn't seem as canned as those ones did.
Okay.
And I appreciated the little clueless. I mean, granted, we've seen that plaid skirt 30 billion times. It was cute. I didn't feel sad. I'm sad that Nathan thought it was sad.
It was sad. That tiny little bandage on her nose, like do a prosthetic broken nose or something.
That'd be good.
Here's the deal. She lost me the second she said she had a BFA in musical theater.
And I was get the reference.
No, I think she really does.
No, for sure. But I think what you get what she was referencing.
With no, I don't. What was she referencing?
There was a viral tweet last year about the archetype of failed actors turning into drag queens and effectively making fun of the fact that they weaponized their BFA. And it caused this whole discourse.
Oh, she did reference that. Yes.
Yeah.
She did reference that later. But she does mention in her confessional, she says she has a BFA in musical theater. And I was like, yeah, they explained that she's such a musical theater kid. You know what she reminds me of? Actually, I can't remember his name. I follow him on Instagram, some sort of like Instagram gay, and all he does is Instagram videos making fun of musical theater gays. But even though he admittedly is one of them. I think it's like Joseph Tyler Ellis or something like that, or something along those lines. All right. Next we have Anitra. Give me your thoughts here, Robert, on Anitra.
Anitra looks sick. I thought maybe this is kind of rude, but I felt like her nose wasn't as pronounced as a boy, but she's doing something with her makeup that makes her nose the main feature of her face, mm-hmm. which doesn't seem correct. But I think she's a sick performer, and I thought she looked pretty good. Apart from the headpiece, looked a little bit janky, actually, now that I look back on it in my mind's eye.
All right, Nathan?
I hated this look, and she was one of the ones from the Meet the Queens that I thought would go out like first or second, and she's proved me wrong since with the talent show. Like, now I love her, but when she walked into the workroom, I was like, "Bleh, next."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't much. Yes, we're not at the talent show. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but I will say that the workroom look, I wasn't a big fan of, but it's funny and it's continued on to the next episode, but she gives very strong... In her mug is a very strong detox vibe. Like, there's a lot of detox in her mug. I don't know if it's the makeup. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of detox
there. It's the nose.
All right. Next, we have Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. Your thoughts here, Nathan Brown.
I appreciated this look. I loved the wig being styled as, like, fox ears. Mm-hmm. It's just the type of drag that I can get on board with.
Yeah. Robert?
I can't believe it took them 15 seasons to get a Miami girl on, actually. I feel like there's just way too many freaking Instagram videos of all those Miami girls at the boozy brunches throwing down, and Malaysia's a good one to have. I liked her.
Well, when I think of drag cities, I think of like Connecticut or somewhere like that, not Miami.
So do the casting producers, clearly.
But, you know, you asshole for not knowing everything about America.
The more you know.
Yeah. But you know what, though? There are a lot of cities, many cities that are bigger than Connecticut. Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. I like her. No, but I don't have a lot of thoughts on her because, you know, honestly, for this season, and we'll see it in the next cast, there are a lot of big girls on this season with big personalities. And she has a big personality, but she kind of got lost this episode. Among mm-hmm. the Selena Estides and the mistress Isabel Brooks, she sort of fell by the wayside, which might be a good thing strategy-wise at this stage in the game. Next, we have Princess Poppy. Your thoughts here, Roberto. Wait, did you go first last time, Robert? Yeah, Nathan,
I did,
start
but
with
I
you?
Can go again.
No, it's okay. We'll start with you, Nathan.
Okay, I think Princess Poppy's look was lame. I thought, are we really dressing up as like Twister Mats in the year of our Lord 2023? Like, I just don't know why we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And she says her big joke is that she's homophobic. And I'm like, okay, well, same. So mm-hmm. that I liked.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the deal. Oh, I'm sorry, Robert, go ahead.
I just thought she was a bit of a void of charisma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what? Ouch. I'm not even saying that she's just unt. I just didn't see any charisma, period. Mm-hmm. Like, in drag, out of drag, princess what? Poppy who? No.
Yeah.
And I hate to hate on a San Francisco girl because Why? They deserve better on the show.
Oh. Here's the deal. One, again, she's another one that gets lost. No charisma. The other thing, too, is she's the first one we've seen so far who's like, I was viral on TikTok. And we're like, girl.
What do you think Plastique is doing when she hears that?
Yeah. Good point. But you know what they might say? It's like, she's an Instagram queen. I'm a TikTok queen. I think there's a subtle, like, youth thing there.
And Chad Michaels is a MySpace queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mimi I'm First is the Facebook queen.
I was
number third in the voting. Vivacious is like a cave queen.
Yeah.
Like, the cave paintings.
I was a town square queen. I sat in the corner, rang a bell.
Ring a bell saying, Sorry, Jew sucks.
Yeah. Oh, just.
Fuck that Candy Muse.
The real Candy
Fuck
Muse.
Fuck Lion King.
Just wait till we talk about this Todrick Hall on this Real Friends. Sasha, he's a YouTube queen, though, isn't he? Sasha Colby.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Your thoughts here, Robert Mata.
I'm just full of controversial opinions today, but I have this thesis that comedians are rarely funny. They just sort of have this reputation for being funny. And so anything that comes out of their mouth tends to make people laugh due to expectation. And I think Sasha Colby is absolutely a legend. Like, I was watching her when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Like, then that was, you know, 20 years. No, that wasn't 20 years ago. It was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And she is a legend, but I don't think she did anything explicitly mother this episode.
Yeah.
Other than just be herself, which is awesome, but was it that awesome, or was it just reputation?
Yeah. What do you think here, Nathan?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, Robert. Like, she kind of gagged me because everyone else was gagged, and yeah, I sort of got swept into the Sasha Colby of all when she walked out, and I loved it. I thought it was a good first impression, but I can see how that's sort of like the drag that's been at the back of the closet for 10 years.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm in between the two of you, and I'll tell you why. I just said, and I didn't even know we were talking about this right now. I just said, if you tell me to like something or watch something, I will, in just to something about me, I will automatically not because you told me to. And so everybody was like, oh, it was a Sasha Colby I'm living. So I was in my brain gearing up to hate her. Right. And I wasn't gagged when she first walked out. I was like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Does Brooklyn Heights also won Miss Continental? And so did this Nasha Lopez. Right.
Wow.
And we know I can't stand this Brooklyn Heights. Anyway, I'm going to tell you something. This Sasha Colby won me over with how not she wasn't putting on the airs and she wasn't trying to be mother. Her confidence came through and I go, she won me over because she wasn't.
Her
this,
smile is beautiful.
Yeah. She knows these bitches know I'm a legend. I don't have to fucking tell them. And I thought it was great. I was a big Sasha Colby fan. All right. So then next, the big gag is a person dressed as Ornacia comes out into the workroom. And what I love is that these queens are such fans is that some of them are even mimicking the lines that the queens in season 6 said.
Yeah.
As Ornacia was struggling with her zipper.
Let us see.
Yeah. And so... she takes up the zipper, and it's Ariana Grande. The one thing I will say, and maybe this is cutting because I didn't want to see. I think if I was there, it was not. I'm sure they were not expecting Ariana Grande, and she unzipped it. There would be a beat or two of going like, and then
that's what I thought too, Joe. That's why I think they put Marsha in this group. They intentionally put a super fan of Ariana there just so someone would recognize her.
Yeah, I think there would be a beat where they would be like, what? Like they actually showed it with Gaga. With Gaga, but Gaga wasn't wearing an Ornacia mask. Where they were like, oh! then they realized it, which I think they robbed us of the magic of them actually realizing and just jumping to it. You know? But I thought it was fierce. I thought it was great. I thought Ariana Grande was great. What did you think there, Nathan Brown?
Yeah, I loved it. I preferred this reveal to like the Miley shenanigans that we've had. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. What about you, Robert?
The reveal was fun. I was just a bit sad that it seems like Ornacia's falling on hard times because she didn't look glam. Where is the glamour at DragCon?
That is
Ornacia
true.
Ornacia wasn't giving it.
That is true. I will agree with that. All right. RuPaul entered the workroom to reveal the first mini challenge, a tribute to Drag Race's first photo shoot. The girls serve looks at a car wash while getting sprayed down with hoses. Things get wet and wild, but Irene Dubois is named the winner of the mini challenge. Meanwhile, in the workroom, the queens de-drag and get to know each other. Irene questions Lux's wig length, and Lux calls out Irene's catty vibe. Let's start with you, Nathan Patrick Brown. Your thoughts here on the mini challenge, on what happened in the workroom. Give us the details.
Okay. I loved it. And what I love about these mini challenges for the first episodes is that the queens still don't get it. Like, it's not actually about taking a pretty photo. It's about you getting dumped on and being funny and interacting with Rue. So some of them did really well. And then others are just like flopping so hard.
Yeah.
Which, like, I loved seeing how badly Anitra did with like the eyelash that was on the pit crew guy's thigh.
Yeah.
Loved it. And I thought people like Irene, who were being chatty with Rue, sort of shined more than the others.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Robert?
Just the photo shoots in general could be more fun even. I felt like everyone was a bit stiff, sort of like Nathan sort of suggested. Yeah. That you're getting sprayed with water. It's a campy ass show. Do something silly. Be fun. Yeah. No one, it's hot to be hot, but yeah, like you walked in hot. Now be interesting.
Well, why wouldn't you wear something where you, because they, it's more often than not, there's some sort of photo shoot where they're going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
It has been a while, but I did really feel for Malaysia when she said, fuck, my ostrich feathers and my perfectly coiffed hair and all of that were just sopping wet. Yeah. Which, I mean, better that than getting paint on it, I guess, but still.
Now, back in the workroom, I know we discussed this a little bit, but I want to revisit it. Irene still is coming for Lux and is like, your hair is not 40 inches. You know, and they're kind of going at it. What were your thoughts here on that, Nathan and Robert?
It's funny because it's not 40 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you how many inches do you think that is?
28 at most.
See, it's hilarious.
I think there was this Reddit post that they calculated how tall what's her name, Lux Noir London, mm-hmm, would have to be to like make that 40 inches, and I think she would have to be like 7'8" or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, based on the length, and that itty bitty is not 7'8". She looks like she's 4'7".
Yeah. All right. Well, also, there's a part where somebody talks about, they're talking about the girls who are there. And they're saying, you know, it's a great thing that there's no negative energy coming from these girls. And Lux goes, well, there is for Irene. And what did you think of this? Do you think Irene was giving negative energy? She kind of plays as like where I come from, the drag queens sort of play with each other. What do you think there, Nathan?
I think you nailed it earlier, Joe, when you said
you've
got to know the person before you do the shade. So she went a bit too soon.
All right. The choreo session. After RuPaul announces the maxi challenge, the queens get to work on their choreo. Aura, Sasha, and Marsha volunteer to lead the rehearsal. Sasha backs away pretty early on and lets Marsha and Aura catfight over who will have the final say in the movements. Let's start with you, Robert. Your thoughts on this whole choreo session with Marsha, and Aura going at it.
I got to be real with you, Joe. Yeah. I went to get a drink and I fast forwarded it. I don't do choreo scenes anymore.
Okay. Nathan?
I don't do the rehearsals. No.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think this is where it could have been cut back a bit, because ultimately we all know they do this group number and it means nothing. It has no bearing on the actual judging. Mm-hmm. So who cares?
Yeah.
Who choreographs it isn't important unless you're like the team leader on The Apprentice, you know? So just take a step back and relax. Mm-hmm. And because, like, the girls were pretty, I appreciated how they were like, oh, it's obviously a split premiere. Like, they didn't pretend to be gooped by that.
Yeah.
But then they changed and were, like, all frantic about the choreography, being like, oh, no, we got to do this. And it's like, just chill.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Let me tell you something. Again, a lesson for the children who don't remember. Did you ever watch this Brady Bunch, Robert?
I've seen clips.
Okay. So, in the show, Marsha Brady is the pretty popular girl, the oldest sister. Then there's the baby, Cindy. She doesn't come up in the show at all. But Jan, in classically character-wise, is very much the middle child. And even the phrase Marsha comes from an episode where Jan is like, why does everyone pay attention to Marsha? It's always Marsha. And, you know, like, why does no one pay attention to her? In this scene, And I think it's unironic. This Marsha, Marsha, Marsha is very much, well, I guess no one listens to Marsha. And I'm like, does she not get that that's not a Marsha thing to say? That's a Jan thing to say. She's a Jan.
Yeah.
Not a Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
She's a Jan, Jan, Jan.
She's a Jan, Jan, Jan.
I can't stand the Jan cinematic universe.
No. Neither can I. So Marsha, Marsha, Marsha so far, she's going to have to prove. Marsha, Marsha Brady would just go in there and fucking throw some beads on the floor to Aura and just fucking punch the bitch out. I think Marsha, Marsha, Marsha is an aspirational name.
Aren't they all? Lux Noir London.
Yeah, exactly. Now, at this point, this is when they. This is when the episode then takes a break and we're going to take a break. And then they're like, little do they know. And then they've been cleaning the workroom, making it, clearing it out. And then they're bringing in the 8 other girls. But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the real friends of WeHo when we're back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race 2 times, recording 2 different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way, big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it, to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. All right, let's talk. Now let's go into the next batch here. The workroom entrances part 2. Very interested to see this thought on this. The first person in on this round 2 is Selena Estides. Now, let's start with you, Robert. What were your thoughts here on Selena Estides?
It's fun to see some Chola drag. Yeah. We don't see too much of it. It felt a bit actually like Landon Sider was there instead. Doing a drag king, but I still lived. I do think that Selena Estidi needs to learn a different word other than quinceañera. She said that shit like 15 times herself.
Well, that was the big joke. She's like, I'm on season 15. It's the quinceañera. For those of you that don't know,
exactly.
In very Mexican style, their sort of debutante ball is called a quinceañera. Have you ever been in a quinceañera there, Robert?
Of course. Look at me.
And it's their 15th birthday. They have sometimes it very much is the size of like a wedding. And there's like a whole.
Oh, yeah. Tens of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Anyway, I still think she's annoying. Why is she always yelling? Meanwhile, you know what it is? We hate in others what we see in ourselves. I'm like, why is she yelling all the time?
That Mexican faggot is annoying as shit.
Okay, we get it, Mexican faggot. You yell. You say the same joke over and over again. Okay, we get it. By the way, how about her not knowing? Like, she goes, oh, you have chonies on or something? She goes, you aren't chonies, these are boxers. And I'm like,
that was weird.
She goes, I guess that's what they call it in Connecticut. And I was like, no, they call it underwear everywhere else. Isn't that what she called it, underwear?
Yeah.
Do you think she's a fake Mexican?
No, I think that there are stupid chunty people who think that there is a difference. I think she's true chunty. Selena is chunty.
Work.
All right.
She's in the Boyle Heights. Yeah,
she is. Amethyst. Nathan.
I hate Amethyst so much. This is the one where I was like, the Meet the Queens, I was right all along. She's a drag, Andy Samberg. She keeps saying she's a comedian. I say, show me, don't tell me, make me laugh, and then I'll believe that you have comedic timing. And she's like, I'm the first viral TikTok queen and the first queen from Connecticut to grace the stage. And I'm like, okay, well, just wait, because they're going to steal your thunder. You're the first in appearance, not in impact. I hate you.
I saw this tweet.
Work.
That was like, yeah, who's producing all Taylor Swift's albums right now? Because he looks like Jack Antonoff, they were saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's my young person reference today. By the way.
That's very Gen Z of you.
Hold on for a second. Well, I have my little Gen Z. Here we go. Every time I do something Gen Z, I'll play this. Yeah! Gen Z! I'm here to be super young. Anyway, Amethyst was very annoying. I'm glad you guys all thought that.
Robert, did you speak yet?
Did I say that?
Next, we have Jax.
I thought Amethyst was pretty annoying. She confused me, but I did like her number. I know we're not on that episode.
Amethyst?
Regardless. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you liked that?
I'm surprised none of them said they were Kinetic Cunt. Even though they probably say that every day at the drag brunches in Hart.
Yeah. That's a Hamburger Mary's Hartford.
A Hamburger original. Mary's Hartford. They're for sure saying that over their $25 cheeseburger. Okay, next we have Jax. Your thoughts on Jax there, Robert?
I like Jax, actually. She was probably one that completely flew under the radar for me in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But I liked her energy. I liked her little sort of spunkiness. And I'm excited to see what she does.
A lot of people are attracted to her pocket gayness. Are you attracted to her, Robert?
Not particularly. I did note that she looks massively different in drag than out of drag to me. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't seem like the same person, which is not common.
Your thoughts, Nathan Patrick Brown?
Yeah, I thought it was a lame entrance. I didn't really enjoy the look.
Oh, what the fuck?
She said she's packing, and I was like, good for her. But then I was like, oh, that's because you're 4 inches tall, so any penis will look big on you.
That's true.
Well, she is half black, 40 half inches? Puerto Rican. That is, yeah, she probably does legitimately have 40 inches.
Hmm. Well, good for her. I do like her personality, and I do grow to like her more as the episode progresses. But on entrance, I was like, next.
By the way, I watched this episode a couple of times. And second time I listened for this. Did she call herself, which by the way, if it's not someone's drag name, they should steal it. Did she call herself Samoan Biles?
I thought I heard that too, honestly.
I also thought that.
But she's not Samoan.
Maybe Sasha Colby should get a new name.
Yeah.
Brita Filter. We're over Brita. The name.
Or who's the guy from the Archie show?
The redhead?
KJ Apa?
Yeah, isn't he Samoan?
I thought he was New Zealand.
¿Por qué no los dos?
He's something. He's not full white.
I think he might be Maori.
But by the way, I am starting my new gay podcast over there called All Right Maori. And look for it this fall, by the way.
I would listen to What Did You Just Call Me, a podcast. Yes.
That should be a podcast. What Did You Just Call Me? Joe Batant. You know.
The one good RuPaul joke.
When she came in and she said, I'm from Connecticut, you could feel Amethyst's soul leave her body.
And little did Amethyst know that it was just going to keep coming at her.
Yeah. Those RuPaul's Drag Race queens know how to... those producers, they know how to fucking...
They sure do.
All right, let's go over to Lucy LaDuca. We'll start with you, Nathan. Your thoughts here.
I loved it. I thought she had a great look. I liked her line coming in. Lucy, you got some slaying to do. I thought it was a good entrance.
Robert?
Do you think she's actually a construction worker?
No.
Construction paper.
Is that a bit? I was pretty... She feels a bit cookie cutter to me, but not in a bad way, just in an acceptable... This is Drag Race season 15. Like, what can you do? But I will say that out of drag, she has the most unsettling pair of eyes I have ever seen. Like, she's like a fucking basilisk. I'm scared of her. I don't want her to be in the season long because I don't want to see her confessionals. Her eyes are scary. They're like the like molten silver, but too shiny. I don't like it.
There's something about her I didn't like either.
It's the eyes. That's it.
Is it the eye? I couldn't put my finger on it.
She has the same energy as Anita Wiglet, but without the frantic smiling. And it's not right.
By the way, like, she showed those hands, and their hands were so creepily huge and weird.
That's why I thought she was a construction worker for real.
I think she claims to be really a construction worker, but can you imagine her on the construction site? I mean, I don't know anything about construction, but are they like, hey, Lucy, get over there and do that thing with the thing that you do, right? And she's like, hold on, right? Is she whistling? She
titters over.
Is she whistling at guys when they walk by? Like, she's a cute guy. She like, hey, those are nice bones you got there. I like them here in my mouth. You know, like, do you think she's that?
We have to go to Connecticut to find out.
Free mustache rides over here.
She kind of, it reminds me of that scene in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt when Titus falls in love with a construction worker.
Maybe that's where she got it.
That was her all along.
What I thought was so funny is how one of them was like, wow, out of drag, you have like tattoos. And she's like, yeah, I know, it's like light and dark. And it's like, people can have tattoos.
Yeah, that's crazy shocking.
It allows her to pass on the construction site.
What about you, Robert? Did you give your thoughts on her?
Just her eyes.
Oh, that's
man.
Right. Yeah.
I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm
Yeah, crazy.
It's the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah. Again, but then she's from Connecticut. You can hear more of Amethyst's soul leave her body. All right. Next, we have Mistress Isabel Brooks. Your thoughts there, Robert?
I liked her. I thought, I think, you know how we're not supposed to compare queens? I think at a certain point we get to this like status where it's like, she does look like Eureka. It's okay to say that she looks similar to her. She's nothing like her, which I mean, I grew to love Eureka in time, but I do love the presence of big Southern drag, no doubt. So the archetype being fulfilled, I'm happy that she's there.
Nathan?
I did think it funny that she was so bothered by Sugar and Spice, though. But so were you, so I guess we'll get into that.
I loved her. I thought it was so funny how as soon as she walks in, the camera just, like, zoomed in on that one-inch heel. And when she's like, yeah, I'm a big bitch and I don't want to break an ankle. Like, I'm going to wear a little kitten heel. And I'm like, okay, now I love you. That was so good.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I was at Disneyland last night. And I get this.
Wait, really?
I really was. And I was get a text message from Laurie Roggenkamp, and it's a screenshot of Mistress Isabel Brooks. She says, why didn't you tell me you were on Drag Race?
So nasty. In or out of drag?
She told me the confessional look. She told me the confessional look.
The confessional look is really quite something. That comment about her owning a pizzeria was so deeply spot on.
Is she one of us, Robert?
I don't think so. You mean, is she gay?
No, I meant she like pizza. No, I meant, is she Latina? What is she? She's wonderful. You can't tell she could be anything. Mexican,
she could
black,
be really
Maori.
Everything. A smorgasbord of all the ethnicities across the land.
She really is everything. You know.
All at once.
I didn't really like her on Meet the Queen, but I liked her better this episode.
Me too.
Yeah, I did like her. By the way, I'm kind of mad at her. When she did that Yolanda joke with Selena's titties, that she was going to be Yolanda. For people don't know, Yolanda is the woman that shot and killed Selena.
Okay? Oh.
president of her fan club.
Who shot and murdered Selena. That was one of my going to be my, one of my Snatch Game characters.
You could still do it. Just show her up.
I think I almost want to go on Drag Race just to be Yolanda. And I would have one of those guns. I'd have one of the guns that goes bang. And if someone said something to me, I'd just shoot them.
Well, don't do it too many times because then you'll do the Jaden Dior fierce, like, that's so Raven moment over and over. No. For those who can't see, Joe's doing our favorite Aura Mayari.
And then he's doing the detox
thing.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, the detox mouth.
By the way, yeah. And then I would say, RuPaul, I'm your biggest fan. Let me start your fan club.
I think that actually that could work.
I'm telling you. Gonna do it. All right. Next we have Robin Fierce. Your thoughts there, Nathan?
Very pretty, very forgettable, another Connecticut bitch.
That's her, by the way, that's one of her Twitter bio. Robert, what did you think?
Wide brim hat. That's all I thought.
Here he goes. There's his bit, you know? If we weren't on YouTube, that. I would play the Seinfeld music, but I already got like a warning from YouTube, so like, I can't do that. But yeah.
I loved her. I just like loved her wig though. It was fantastic. The outfit was falling apart, but the wig itself was sick. She looked good. She seemed fun.
She did seem pretty. She did seem fierce, but she was very fucking boring. But again, you know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because there are a lot of bitches. Maybe we'll learn something about her that we didn't know before.
Or maybe we won't.
Maybe we won't. Okay, well, next we have in the twins, Sugar and Spice. They came in together. Why don't we start with you, Robert, since you grew up knowing Sugar and Spice.
I raised them. Yeah. They're my gay children.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find anything wrong with them. Obviously, I'm surrounded by mindless, idiotic, self-obsessed, you know, WeHo influencer adjacent people rather often. And they did not exhibit the worst traits of that archetype.
Interesting, Nathan.
They seemed...
Oh, go ahead. Wait, Robert's not done.
Not, humble's not the word.
Robert does a lot of false endings.
But they did seem
fun. Robert goes... Robert will be like, ba-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And then I'm like, okay,
I'm
melodic. And I'm like, he's still going. Okay, so go ahead, Robert. Did I let you finish? Go ahead.
I think that was really it, though. We can end there. But actually, I think I just had to do that. Keep going.
Nathan?
They're not funny. They're annoying. There's no charisma. There's no uniqueness. There might be a smidge of talent, but not really. There's no nerve. It's been done. I don't like them. Speaking of Nepo babies, I get Nepo from them for sure.
Nepo twins.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this.
Let me tell you what. My father fucked Marlena Dietrich.
But also, there's the obvious answer I'm going to say, which is they're horrible, vapid human beings. Who I would love nothing more than to watch them slide down a razor blade and land in a bucket of alcohol.
Oof.
Okay? Ow.
And I get why you feel that, Nathan, right?
I never said that.
I get why you told me you wish they were one of the babies in the Passover story, you know, that were murdered by God, by the angel, because they didn't put the lamb's blood on the door.
Shit scared the hell out of me as a kid.
It did, yeah, me too. But let me tell you this.
Let me tell you what. My father fucked Marlena Dietrich.
I think if you would have asked me 1 or 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, fuck those queens, right? But over the past year or two, I've become friends. I think pretty good friends. With Christian Ochoa.
Bitch.
Bitch, what? And I actually, so when Mistress Isabel Brooks said, kind of turned and was like, yeah, I would really know, but I get it. I understood. And I wouldn't be surprised if they have the same energy as Christian. Whereas people hate Christian. Actively, just listeners hate him. Right? And I understand why. But here's the thing. And I've told people this in private. If you actually spend time with him and get to know him and talk to him, you will have an opposite reaction. It's actually almost impossible not to like Christian.
Very lovable.
Very lovable. So in a way, I get Mistress Isabel Brooks and why she once she engaged with them, because she did know them from TikTok and hated them. And then she got to know them and was like, oh, wait, they're actually pretty good people. It's the same thing. I could see how watching, being separated by a screen and not knowing them, you would be like, fuck these twinks. Right? But I could also see if you actually got to know them in that setting when it's not a drag show and they're actually kind of being real, you being like, oh, you know what? They're actually really good people. It's just this really annoying act. That said, yes. I want them to go home.
Yeah. They can be nice people and not be on my TV.
Yes. Like- Yeah. All right. Well, after Sugar and Spice, Arnaisha came in. But this time, it really was vivacious. So, like, when she walked in, oh, they're going to do this. Or her mouth, they really put some padding on Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I thought like, the same thing.
Yeah. And it was actually the real vivacious. These queens did not get the gag of Ariana Grande. They got actual vivacious, who then, when RuPaul told her to walk out, she literally hobbled out. As if she had fallen down or something and we didn't see it.
Vivacious needs to change her name.
Yeah, she really does.
It's a dulling.
Okay. Next. RuPaul enters the workroom to reveal Group 2's mini challenge, a tribute to Drag Race's second season premiere photo shoot. The girls will hop on a motorcycle and attempt to be fierce while a fan blows in their faces. All the girls keep it breezy, but Lucy LaDuca wins the mini challenge. The twist. Back in the workroom, RuPaul explains the maxi challenge exactly the way it was explained to the first group. Cut two, RuPaul crashing Group 1's dance rehearsal to reveal the girls of Group 2. We can't wait to see how this turns out. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with you, Robert.
I just don't think the two groups meeting has paid off ever since Gia Gunn, you know, showed us how it's done in season 6. And I would much rather have seen all 16 girls walk in.
Oh, really?
Like at once. My favorite part of the season is entrances.
Yeah, it is.
So like at least I don't know why, but I like really love it. I love watching the older seasons, re-entrances. Like if I have to just put something on for 15 minutes, like the All-Star 7 one feels so warm and cuddly. The international seasons all do it. They haven't like started to fuck it up like the regular seasons. I just miss it. I miss that. The worst was season 13 when only two walked in and then they did their little lip sync two more walked in. It's just really butchered, my enjoyment of Drag Race. But this episode did something slightly different with it. They don't have to do something different. Just let it be.
All right. Any other, all your thoughts? Because we're not going to see you for a few weeks now.
That's my main thought. Because the whole episode was really just entrances, choreo that I ran away from, and then mini challenges, which were, you know, they were fine.
Nathan Patrick Brown?
I have a couple of thoughts on that second mini challenge that I just want to touch on. One, I loved when Selena Estides, when Ru said, straddle that hog, she walked up to the pit crew member. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I hate Amethyst when she said, put on your seatbelt. And I'm like, bitch, motorbikes don't have seatbelts. Like, just be correct when you're trying to be funny. I do not understand why Spice put on the shower cap. I think we need to talk about the shower cap because that's just a huge part of
not
getting it.
Because like, RuPaul was like, are you sure, bitch? This is what you want to do. You don't want to have your hair? And she's like, no, I'm fine. And you're like, oh, this bitch does not get it.
And like,
that was when Alaska did boy drag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would be fine now. But yes. Like the shower cap, like shower caps go over hair. So I like, none of it made sense. It looked horrible. She thought she was killing it. And then she ended up doing the exact same face that Sugar did, which just proves my point that we don't need both of them here. I think they're dumb.
Their lip sync is probably going to be absolutely atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. First of all, I love RuPaul.
I think that's the only negative thing I'll say about them. I'm done.
I love RuPaul not caring that now. She just doesn't care now. She just makes super old-timey references that no one's... She referenced... I'm just going to be... You want to hear some faggotry? You're going to hear some faggotry. She referenced this celebrity named Melba Moore, right? Who was a Broadway actress. She's still around, but a Broadway actress in the 70s. I think she was really big. She made a reference to Tippi Hedren, the woman from The Birds. Like, she just doesn't care. She's making old-timey references now all the time.
But I think she's more likable when she's like that.
Yes. Well, I don't think she realized. Did you see her? And I know that I'm tipping my hand for the next episode. The way she was trying hard to laugh at Sugar and Spice at their...
She tried it.
...variety act. And I'm like, it wasn't that good. It wasn't... Look, I'm giving a hint. It wasn't horrible. It was for that show. It was very safe what they did. But RuPaul was like, ha! It's really very whatever what they're doing, right? It's very fine. Anyway, how about the first winners of the mini challenge, Lucy and Irene, being in the bottom of the main challenge?
It's crazy.
Isn't that wild? Robert, you can put that in your comedy
act. Just the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Robert's going to put that in his comedy act.
I'm aghast.
All right. Well, that's everything. So, Robert, you've said everything. Everything's been said.
I think for now I'll have plenty of like stray thoughts. You know, we'll see. You'll hear me like out in West Hollywood giving plenty of thoughts.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week, where our special next episode, because two parter here. Next episode, where Jay Ellis will be our co-host, and every week I'll tell him to wear a tank top, Nathan.
Speaking of Robert, do you want to just give us a little flash? Just roll up the sleeves. Or am I
just
Ari
a little for the girls?
Yeah, not for me. I don't care. And every week, as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each and every brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15. So, for Nathan Patrick Brown, Roberto Mata, and myself,
sashay away until next episode.
Did Christian pick this song?
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag. No, he didn't, but I had to re-record the whole outro.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I feel like you usually talk over your outros.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Do you want to do a tie five on hats throughout the outro?
Yeah, do you want to do your whole thing here on like
I've done enough. Let me get more to marinate and then I'll
What's
get back
into
it.
What's the name of that
I'll
faggot who has all the more. Instagram videos where he doesn't tell a joke but everyone thinks he's funny because he shows his stomach?
Mateo.
Yeah. Do your Mateo Lane bit. Like every Mateo Lane bit is legitimately like... You ever been to Bed Bath & Beyond? You have? Really? What are you buying there? With the coupon, you have the coupon? You have the coupon for Beth and Mitt? Yeah. Yeah. You know she's the kind of person who goes with her gay friend. He's like, oh, no, girl. You do not get that iron. You need it. You don't have any gay friend. That's why you're going. And you're like, okay. Not everything you say, fucking Mateo Lane, has to be published on the internet. Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia or email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books, and the other is Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find Nathan on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Alex S.
Ha!
Anonymous.
Ha!
April Pacheco.
Ha!
Astute Girl.
Ha!
Brad Coley.
Ha!
Carter McKinnon.
Ha!
Karina Williamson.
Ha!
Deckhead.
Ha!
Devin McKay.
Ha!
Doofus Maximus.
Ha!
E. Smith.
Ha!
Elizabeth Timmer.
Ha!
Emma.
Ha!
Humble Pie.
Ha!
J. Thomas Plank.
Ha!
Jesse Harris.
Ha!
Lauren Eckert. Lucy Carrasco.
Bam!
Luke Stamen.
Bam!
Mike Yeager.
Bam!
Nicholas Springham.
Bam!
Nikki Baker.
Bam!
Poppy Woods.
Boost!
Ricardo Herrera.
Bam!
Robert NYC.
Bam!
Sarah Yu.
Hi, Manella.
Tom Bomb.
I just saw Manella,
Travi
girl.
Cosmos. Troy Anderson. Zach Nelson.
Pick me now.
Drag Race Recap. Afterthought Media Podcast. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.